Either. You listen to Eaters.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله أسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, from amongst the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the ummah with the name Al-Hadi. Al-Hadi is the name of Allah, an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Hadi means the one who guides to the straight path. The one who guides to the straight path. Hidayat is something that we are all familiar of. And hidayat means the same thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides a person to the straight path. Insha'Allah ta'ala, in our session tonight, I want to explain the different levels of hidayat, guidance. And we see this in one very important verse of the Quran, when Fir'aun had said to Musa alayhi salam, that you worship Allah and you claim that He is your Rabb. So who is your Rabb? What are the powers of your Rabb? And so we see in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. Our Lord and Rabb is that Allah who has created everything and has given it a feature, a shape. خَلْقَهُ. Allah has given everything in His creation a shape, a feature. And then thereafter Allah has also given that makhluk, the creation, hidayat, guidance. So for an example, if you have a look, everything in this world has got a beautiful shape. If you look at the moon, mashallah, the full moon and then the crescent will slowly decrease and you see the shape of it, how it's visible. You see the sun, you see the stars, the shape of it, the trees, the mountains, mashallah. Every creation that Allah has created has this distinct shape that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. If you look at the animals that Allah has created, subhanallah, everything has a shape. That is what Allah is saying. He is your Rabb and He has given you a face. He has given you a shape. And then He has also given that makhluk hidayat thereafter. For an example, my respected brothers, the birds that Allah has created in the winter season, they will migrate and they will fly continuously from one continent to another continent. Allahu Akbar. Allah has given it a shape, Allah has given it a face, and Allah has given it the hidayat, the understanding for it to move during the winter season. And then when the winter season ends, the birds, all of them fly back and come back to that region and they settle in that very location, the same tree, the same branch, the same area without any kind of a navigation system. The plane that you travel without a navigation system, and if you want to go, for an example, from here to Saudi, who is going to know which direction to go? Do you think the pilots will know? The pilots won't have no knowledge. Instead of going to Saudi, they might end up taking you somewhere else. Allahu Akbar. But the birds, they migrate and continuously fly. You need to sleep. Birds don't sleep. It is said that whilst they are flying, half the brain is asleep and the other half is awake. Allahu Akbar. Look at the kudrat of Allah. Recently, they came up with this research that if a butterfly is trapped indoor somewhere, if a butterfly is trapped indoor somewhere, and it wants to get out, but it feels that it is trapped and it can't get out, Allah has created the butterfly and Allah has given it hidayat. Allah has given it hidayat. It is said that it has the ability to give a signal out to the rest of the butterflies, and the butterflies will come as close as they can to that butterfly which is trapped, and they will communicate, even if there's one window, to see how we can get this one trapped butterfly out from where she is and the suffering is, so they will look for an exit point. And they have this connection and they communicate. This is what they found out recently. Allah is saying, that is your Rabb. رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ. He has given a shape to everything that He has created. ثُمَّ هَدَى. And then thereafter Allah gives it hidayat. Allah puts it on the right track. Allah gives it the guidance. That is why in the Quran, subhanAllah, it is the book of hidayat, the book of science, whatever you name it. However you want to name it. In this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned one chapter which is called Suratun Nahl. Suratun Nahl. Allah speaks of His one makhluk that He has created, the bee. And they construct a hive. And in that hive, it's done in such a way that 80,000 bees can live inside it. And the honeycomb, if you have a look, if you just read the tafsir of the Quran, Allahu Akbar, when Allah speaks of the bees, how they travel, the honeycomb, millimeter by millimeter, every shape of it is the same, equal, completely same. Allahu Akbar. And then there was a question that why is it in the shape of a hexagon, in the shape of a hexagon. Why not a pentagon? Why not with eight sides, an octagon? Why a hexagon? Because Allah gave it the hidayat that when you are going to do that design, it has to be a hexagon shape. Because you are going to store inside it honey. In the modern world, it becomes very easy. Mathematicians have said that the most suitable shape for complete coverage of an area is the hexagon shape. If it was an octagon, pentagon, any other shape, it would not have so much honey inside it, and there would be space inside it which would be void, which would be void. And so the best shape for it is the hexagon shape. Now who has given this makhluk, this small makhluk, this akal to come up with this design? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And then they travel for miles looking for the best of flowers. And the Quran says, and then when they find the flowers, one bee will return back to give information to the rest of the bees. And the Quran says, the kalam of Allah testifies, Allah says, that it will take the exact route for it to return back. Like as if it's got some kind of a navigation system built inside. The exact route it will take to come back. And scientists until now are baffled as to how is it possible then for all of the bees to get that information that the flowers are in that location. The flowers are in that location. And so now with the research, what they are saying is that the bee, when it flies in a shape making it like the number 8. Making it like the number 8. That is how it flies. And so, in the air, for some reason, Allah has put some sensors in the bees that they can actually see that and return to the flowers in the same way. Ajeeb, Allah ki kudrat. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. This is what is in Surah An-Nahl. That I am your Rabb, I have given everything a face, a structure, a shape, and then I am the one who gives it hidayat. And what comes out from its body is shifa for you. What comes out from its body is shifa for you. There is nothing like honey as shifa. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would drink honey. And he said, this is shifa for you. Like dates, ajwa dates, there is also shifa in there. Zamzam water, there is also shifa in there. Every hakim, whenever they do any kind of ilaj and dawa and they need any kind of pasting, anything, they will always use pure honey. Honey is their shifa. If you look into the Quran, a lot of the people were saying after studying the Quran that no, the facts in the Quran are not accurate. And they would cite one incident of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And they say, how is it possible here that Solomon was talking to an ant? What do they say? Sulaiman alayhi salam was talking to an ant. Say, what kind of a book is this that the Quran is saying that Sulaiman alayhi salam came to this Wadi Naml, the colony of the ants? And Sulaiman alayhi salam is speaking, La yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa junuduhu wa hum la yash'urun fatabassama dhahikan min qawliha. And Sulaiman alayhi salam understood and he started smiling and he could understand what the ants were speaking. And so they say this is impossible. But now in the year 2009, they themselves came up with a research that the ants have this sophisticated method of communication. It is more sophisticated in even more than how human beings speak. Allahu Akbar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the ants in the Quran. They are always united. Always united. You will have a manager, you will have a foreman, you will have the workers that are there, you will have a supervisor. They say they are the masters in agriculture. The masters in agriculture and the masters in architecture. The ants are masters in agriculture and masters in architecture. What is insan doing today? Insan is only duplicating that which the other makhluk has already done. The other makhluk has already done. That is all insan is doing. In fact, if one ant will die, they will bury it like how insan buries a human being. They will bury it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the ants. And now they are saying, no, no. Not just communication, but the most sophisticated level of communication is there. In fact, the ants have the ability also to communicate with the butterflies that were there. Because it was by mistake they came up with this information when they were looking into the other species. And they found out that, no, this is also a fact that ants also communicate. This is what exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Hidayat. What is it? Allah gives hidayat. Now the issue is that insan many a times is satisfied with this very low level of hidayat. And he stops here. in the building of the houses, in transportation, in technology, and all the things that are around us. And he is satisfied, and he stops here. But this is the lowest level of hidayat. The lowest level of hidayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us the highest level of hidayat. The highest level of. So the lowest level of hidayat Allah has given to the other makhluk. That they can travel, they know how to live in this dunya, they can find protection, food, whatsoever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of that He is Al-Hadi, that He is Al-Hadi, the one who guides. Now what are the levels of guidance? This is something very important for us to understand. I started off by going a bit back towards the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That to a degree, mashallah, Allah has given them sophistication. And they are also masters in their own way. But this hidayat is still the lowest level of hidayat. You see somebody who is an architect and he has designed something that is very, very beautiful. Alhamdulillah, it's very beautiful, it's very good. You know, it's something good in this dunya. But this is still considered as a very low level intelligence, low level of hidayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us the high level of hidayat. But to get to the top level of hidayat, let's look at the basics. The first step to take for a person to get to the basic level of hidayat, the high level, the basic high level of hidayat, and then to go further, is for him to understand that what is the truth, and to understand that which is batil, falsehood. What is it? For him to distinguish between the truth and something that is wrong, falsehood. That is why there is one ajeeb hadith, dua of Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa, wa arina al-batila batila. Ajeeb dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi saying, O Allah, show us haqq to be haqq, and batil to be batil. Show us that which is the truth, that we take it to be the truth, and show us that which is false, we take it to be false. A person cannot start the first step of hidayat until he does not understand this. Until he does not understand this. Allahu Akbar. There are some people, by name they are Muslims. What are they? By name they are Muslim. Somebody was just telling me today, in the month of Ramadan, the name that is given is a Muslim name. Whilst the Muslims were fasting, this man is saying, you know, I feel sorry for you people, you have food, but what is the logic of fasting? Na'uzubillah. What is the logic of fasting? Can you imagine? Can you imagine how shaitan has worked on him? That shaitan is going to take him to Jahannam if he does not do tawbah and istighfar. Because inkar of a pillar of Islam means you're a kafir instantly, bhai. You're a kafir, not a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so that is why the first step is that when you have the ability to see that which is right as right and to see that which is wrong as wrong. I have actually met some people, non-Muslims, and they say to me, you know, Imam, you know, God has given beauty to a woman, and if she is showing her beauty, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? After all, she's a beautiful lady, you know, I mean, a lady is very beautiful and she's only showing her beauty. Here you see the issue. Where a person cannot differentiate from right to wrong. From right to wrong. And it is clogged inside. They can't understand. So they cannot even climb the basic first step of hidayat. It is so important that we understand that which is right and that which is wrong. That is why in our Islam we have a system that always take guidance from the elders. What is it? always take guidance from the elders. Why? Why? Because the man who is young, he will have his own mindset, his desire that is there. He can't see things too far. But someone who has got a lot of experience will guide that person, say, no, no, beta, no, no, meri beti, no, no, no. What you are doing is wrong. I am telling you, this is the right path. At that moment, like there was this young boy who came to his Mauli Sahab and said, Mauli Sahab, I want to ask you one question. So the Mauli Sahab said, haan, bolo beta, kya sawal hai tumhe? Hey, Mauli Sahab, you know, why is it that Muslim women have to be separated from Muslim men and there is parda? And this boy is about 5 years of age. What is he? How old is he? 5 years. So Mauli Sahab said, beta, well, you know what it is. Sometimes when a man sees a woman, there is some kind of a feeling in the heart. There is some kind of a feeling in the heart. And so that is why there is this separation. So the boy said, but Mauli Sahab, no, I don't get any feelings. What is it? Mauli Sahab, I don't get any feelings. Now just like how this boy who is so young that he does not understand what is right for him and what is wrong for him, sometimes you will find people who are much older but are at the same level as this young boy. That they cannot actually see and they are not fit enough to make the right decision. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. They might be 30, they might be 40 years of age, and this comes because of corrosion of the heart, because of the different environment they are living in. Kufriya environment they are living in. So that is why you will find that all of these things come inside you. All of these things actually come inside you. So you don't know. So the first level is for a person to differentiate between that what is right and that what is wrong. A lot of the boys. Or fear they don't understand. You see, and then what happens is that they don't listen to the elders, then they go out in that dunya, and then there is only two things that happens to them. They get smacked left, right, and from every corner 360 degrees, they get beaten up. Then they will come, return back, then they will pray namaz. What is it? Then they will pray namaz. Khub mar khali. Dunya ke dhakke khaye, and if they come back, we should still do shukar of Allah. That means Allah loves him and Allah got him back. But the worst scenario is, Allah save us, that Allah becomes naraz of that person, and Allah takes that plug out from the socket, and Allah says, I don't want this garbage. I don't want this man. He's a reject. And Allah says, throw him in Jahannam with the shayateen, never for him to come back towards the path of hidayat. Then what happens to that individual? What happens to that individual? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. That is why Allah is saying al-hadi. Allah is al-hadi. But there are different levels. And so the first level is for a person to distinguish between right and wrong. And that is why, Allahu Akbar, it is very important that even as elders, we do mashwara with the right people. What is it? We do mashwara with the right. Now imagine, is there anyone more supreme than our Nabi? Is there anyone more supreme than our Nabi? But the Quran says, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ O my Nabi, you are the greatest from my creation, but it is my order. I want you to take mashwara from the companions. Why? Why? Why would he need the man who has got a direct line and a connection with Allah? Why does he want mashwara of the companions? No, no. This is to teach the ummah. This is to teach the ummah. Sometimes a person should block his own thought process and say, no, no, I'm going to put a stone on myself because I don't want to throw myself in Jahannam. There are too many people who are my well-wishers who have told me that, no, this is wrong and this is right. I have to take that step. I have to beat the shaitan. Number two, the second level of hidayat, when a person can understand right and wrong, then the second important part is what we call tawfiqiyah. What is it? Tawfiqiyah. Tawfiqiyah means then that first step, the tawfiq, that strength, that ability to take the first step towards the right path. So the first step for him now to come to the masjid. Allah has given him the tawfiq. So now he understands what is right and what is wrong. And then he says, no, you know what, I'm going to take that which is right. The second step is tawfiq. So he goes and Allah has given him the tawfiq, so he'll come to the masjid. Now the third level of hidayat, brothers, listen to this. The third level of hidayat is the acceptance of shahadat. The acceptance of shahadat, the declaration of faith, to accept this. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So now you know what is right and you know what is wrong. Allah's Nabi, when he was there, he said, you are worshipping the stones, this is wrong. If you are taking Jesus as son of God, this is wrong. I am the Nabi of Allah, take me as the Nabi of Allah, worship Allah. So now they are understanding what is right, what is wrong. Allah's Nabi said to them, alcohol is wrong. Now they are understanding what is right, what is wrong. Allah's Nabi said to them, fornication is wrong. Now they are understanding. Allah's Nabi said to them, gambling is wrong. Now they are understanding. Allah's Nabi is saying how you are treating and what you are eating, this is haram. Now they are understanding. So now they are saying, no, no, we can understand what is right and what is wrong. So now the heart is opening up and Allah is giving them the tawfiq. Then they come towards our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or they come to the masjid. And then they say, okay, now we want to accept the shahada. And they accept the shahada and they will say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah has given them the hidayat. And so by accepting the shahada hidayat, it means that Allah has locked them. So Allah is saying, now I am in charge to help you in this dunya. I am in charge to help you in this dunya. Now what happens, unfortunately, is that this is the basic level of hidayat, that we have hidayat. It should not stop here. A lot of the people, what they do, is that they say, no, no, mashallah, you know, I give charity. I fast in the month of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, you know, 3-4 namaz I pray. And so, you know, that is quite a lot what I do. Sometimes I read the Quran, alhamdulillah. And they actually put a break. They actually put a break at the level of hidayah. This is very, very dangerous. When in Islam, you are not supposed to break, you are not supposed to put a break. What is required from you is once Allah has given you that level of hidayah. Because every other hidayah is the lowest level of hidayah. Lowest level of hidayat, as we spoke about the makhluk, the creation of Allah. This hidayat is with the iman. And then Allah is saying, no, no, you have to go up. What is it? The fastest ride in the world. The fastest ride in the world. Which is the fastest ride? The hidayat ride. What is it? You thought I'm talking about Blackpool Pleasure Beach, the Pepsi ride. And what else is there, the other rides that you get? You thought about that? No, no, no. The hidayat ride. Our ulama have mentioned that when a person makes an intention that he wants to boost himself on top and elevate after iman, this is the fastest ride. Allah makes it easy for him and he becomes waliullah. Very fast. This is the fastest ride. There is no, that is why Sahaba-e Kiram Ajma'in, in a very short period of time, the worst of the worst became the best of the best. In a very short period. How short? Imagine the life of Rasulullah was only 63 years. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. Only 63 years. Why? Because this is the fastest ride, fast track. That is why Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَىٰ. And for those people who take hidayat and they want to advance themselves in hidayat, Allah is saying, زَادَهُمْ هُدَىٰ. Allah makes izdiyat. Allah increases the hidayat. Allah pushes them up. That is why the Mi'raj, how long did the Mi'raj take? Not even seconds, not even seconds. Zoom, he's there. Ye zoom bolna bahut slow tha. Ye zoom bolna bahut slow tha. Even faster, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mi'raj is faster than Isa alayhi salam going to the second heaven, and his Mi'raj of coming down was faster than Isa alayhi salam coming down in Syria. Faster. That is why it's very, very quick. Very, very quick. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And so, you know, you'll get some people who say, oh man, you know, I can't do this. Well, you know, only when Allah gives hidayat. We have this attitude, we like to blame Allah Pak. Well, Allah hasn't given me hidayat. Wow. Allah hasn't given you hidayat. When you want to do guna, then the shaitan gives you hidayat straight away. There the shaitan gives you hidayat straight away. But when it comes to good deeds, Allah hasn't given me. But when your desire comes to you, the shaitan, you will follow your shaitan immediately. This is the problem, my respected brothers. Please don't feel bad. Mashallah, this is the time we are still alive. We can still better ourselves. We can still better ourselves. This dunya is so bad. Allahu Akbar, in a sense, now as we are going. Now when some people text me and phone me and achhe achhe Musalman are becoming suicidal. How is that possible? Why? How is this possible? Because we are far away of deen and we don't understand the deen the right way. We have not understood the deen the right way. Now, Allah has also answered this. Allah is saying, I will never take hidayat away from you. How merciful is Allah? With one condition. If we say we want hidayat, Allah is saying, I will never take it away from you. There are two things. Allahu yajtabi ilayhi may yasha. Allah chooses from himself whom he wills. This he is talking about nabuwat. What is he talking about? Allah selects a nabi. And in that nobody has a choice. Allah only chooses the nabi. Nobody else has the. But the ayat after that, Allah is saying, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبْ. And Allah guides. And Allah gives hidayat. وَيَهْدِي. Allah gives hidayat to who? May yunib, that person who does inabat all the time. And what is inabat? Inabat means that person who is repenting to Allah. So Allah has put one condition, that as long as you are repenting to me, I will not cease from you hidayat. The doors of hidayat will not shut from you, no matter what your gunas. But the first thing you have to look at is that you have to be constant in repenting to me. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take hidayat away from you. Now very quickly, look at the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how hard he worked on his family so that they would achieve that very high level of hidayat. He wanted them, the level of iman to be that advanced level of iman. Imagine one day he said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is Hazrat Aisha? Hazrat Aisha would give everything in the path of Allah. Everything in the path of Allah. Despite giving everything in the path of Allah, he said to Hazrat Aisha, Ya Aisha, istatiri minan nar walau bishikki tamaratin. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam even if it is the seed of a khajur. Even if it is the stone of a khajur that you give in the path of Allah. Look at the islah that Allah's Nabi is doing, that the family should be at that very high level. And one day he said to Hazrat Aisha, Mahlan ya Aisha, Mahlan ya Aisha, la tuhsi, fayuhsi Allahu alayki. Aisha, what is this? Don't count when you give in the path of Allah, because Allah does not count when He gives you the blessings. Halakh Hazrat Aisha would never, but imagine how he worked. His very own daughter, we have heard this so many times. You know, she had blisters in her hands, blisters. Hazrat Ali would kiss the hands of Bibi Fatima and would say, this is the daughter of my Nabi. She is the daughter of my Nabi. And look at these hands, Fatima, go to your father and he will give you a female maid that will help you in the chores. She came once and Allah's Nabi saw her, but khair, we've heard of this. And then she said that, my dear father, I came because Hazrat Ali gave me the mashwara that I should ask from you a khadima. Did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam give khadima? No. What did he say? My Fatima, ala adulluka ala khayrin min dhalik. Shall I not inform you of something that is even better than this? Forget this khadim, khadim. And she says, yes, my father. And he says, Fatima, before you sleep, read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. How many times? 34 times? Do that. But he did not give someone there to help. Look how he worked. He wanted the family to go to that advanced level. And sometimes when I read the kitabs, what really amazes me, wallah, my respected brothers, there are certain things about Hazrat Umar, but there is one thing that amazes me, and that's my view, and what I feel is about one tabi'een. What is it of one tabi'i? One tabi'i whose name was Uwaisi Qarni. What was his name? This man had all the opportunity in his life to become a sahabi. Brothers, do you even know what it means to be a sahabi? Allahu Akbar. Sahabi means that after all of the prophets, the best human beings. Sahabi means that Allah gives you the certificate of Jannat in this dunya. People were traveling from all corners of the world to become a sahabi. To become the companion. This man was only in Yemen. He had every time to come and to become a sahabi. But the sincerity of this man in following Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is what we are saying, to advance yourself in the obedience of Allah and His Rasul, that he did not leave the khidmat of his mother. And because his desire was to be a sahabi, but at the same time he was doing ita'at of Rasulullah, obedience to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he wanted to come, and he didn't come because of a very good reason. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam remembered him. And in fact, in some narration it comes that Hazrat Umar, Allah's Nabi said to him, Umar and Ali, that two of you will meet him in Yemen, and when you meet him, give him my salams, and then tell him to make dua for you, and to make dua for my ummah. And they asked him, and Hazrat Umar said to him, you didn't come. He says, I could not come because of doing khidmat for my mom, doing khidmat of my mom. I left this honor of being a sahabi. Ajeeb. This is elevation. This is elevation. You become, that is why the greatest tabi'i from the tabi'in, the highest tabi'in is who? Uwaisi Qarni. Who is he? Like sahaba, the greatest is who? Oh, what slow ho gaye bhai. Sunniyat so gaye. Hazrat Abu Bakr, kaun hai? And from tabi'in, the highest is who? Uwaisi Qarni. Uwaisi Qarni. The highest level given to him. And from amongst the shuhada, Hazrat Hamza. Allah give us the tawfiq. So many ahadith are in front of us when it comes to the family of Rasulullah. Once Allah's Nabi was breathing his last, the wives were there and they were crying and they were saying, oh Nabi of Allah, you are leaving us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even then, wants them to be boosted. Even then, he wants them to be boosted. So he says, all of you are crying. Okay, I will give you basharat. The first lady from my wives to meet me is a lady who has got a very long hand. Atwala kunna yadan. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. The one who has got a long hand. And that is it. Allah's Nabi sometimes would speak in that language. And they thought they could understand him. So now when the ladies would get together and say, oh, you know, who is the first one to go? So they all came and opened their hands. Thank you. measuring the, and they had a stick. What did they have?
Stick.
A stick. So they go, in the riwayat it comes, they took a stick and they started measuring. Started. And you know whose hands was very long? Huh? No. Hazrat Sauda. Hazrat Sauda. And she was an elderly lady, but she was quite tall, and so the hands were the longest as compared to the other wives. And so all of them started saying, Sauda, oh, you are so lucky. You will be the one with our Nabi. You are going to be with. And it so happens that it was not Hazrat Sauda who passed away, it was Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Zainab who passed away. And only then they understood is what was meant by Huzur alayhi salam is the lady who is the most generous from amongst my wives, the most. Everyone was generous, but nobody could touch Hazrat Zainab's generosity. And she is the first one to meet our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you see, that is why Sahaba, once they acquired Iman from Al-Hadi, from who? Al-Hadi. And they came to that basic level of acquiring the Shahada. Once they got that Shahada, from there it was Mi'raj. What was it? Mi'raj. Sahaba were all in Mi'raj. What were they doing? All going up, 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 up. But with us, unfortunately, when we have our Iman, some are here, some are here, some are here, some go up, some go down, some go up high, then they come down again. Ramadan, they go here, and then they go all the way down. Like wo slide se upar niche aja, niche aage. It happens. But we have to be reminded that alhamdulillah, once now we have Iman, our duty is to take that advance mode. That we are going up, 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 high, high, high. And never take yourself to be in that position that, oh no, who am I, what am I, no. This is all from shaitan. All from shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna. Wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Waqt ziyada le liya, inshallah muraqaba inda majlis mein. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahi azim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na. Ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.